feel like there's almost kind of an awakening. You have very diverse backgrounds, which I celebrate wholly. And it's very interesting to watch the different opinions. But here's a fun thing. We are all on the same page. We all want the same things for our great city. We all are committed to each other, to working together. And I will tell you, the level of respect and friendship that's already been forged with this new council is absolutely, truly amazing.
Darren Ledford is the recently elected City Council representative for District 4. And today on the podcast, we begin a series interviewing our newest elected officials, beginning with Councilman Ledford. These interviews are meant to be an introduction, a moment for you to hear their story and the calling that drew them into public service. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. Well, Councilman, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So my guest today is newly elected City Councilman Darren Ledford, and you represent District 4, correct?
That is correct, District 4. And for those of you who don't know, that is the East Brainerd area, including Hamilton Place.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll get into more of the visuals of where these are. You know, that's one of the things. I just had Tiffany Robinson on the podcast for school board, and there's so many different districts that, and I have a feeling most people can't keep their head straight. They're trying to think about, okay, who's my county commissioner? Who's my city councilman? Who's my school board rep? Because they're all so different.
It gets complicated, I promise.
Well, okay, so you were just elected this past March. And, you know, I kind of want to take this episode. I'm going to do a series of these with all the new city councilmen and women and just get to know you guys. So tell us a little about yourself, Darren.
Well, I am a graduate of the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga in 1994. And shortly after that, I was started my own business here in Chattanooga because I knew this is where I wanted to live and this is where I wanted to stay and raise my family.
Were you from Chattanooga before coming to UTC?
No, actually not. I went to Cleveland High School just up the road. And before that, I was actually born in Michigan, and okay. About the first 10 years of my life before I was saved and moved to the South.
Okay, nice. And so you wanted to raise your family here, so keep going.
Yes, Chattanooga is a very special place to me. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college and to go to college. And actually very proud to say my mom, is in her competitive spirit, was the second.
Okay, wow.
She was very, very...
She followed in her son's footsteps. It's
yes.
Awesome.
So I feel very very honored that she chose that, and I'm very proud of her. But, you know, going to UTC, there was a lot of things happened. I did join a fraternity when I was there. And in that, and I'm an only child, so it's important to know that I didn't have a lot of sibling interaction. Obviously, I had cousins. But one of the things I learned in the fraternity, and I'm very proud to say it's a Sigma Chi fraternity, is brotherhood. And the spirit of working together with people. And there's a words that we use that are very important and made a huge impact on my life. That is different temperaments, talents, and convictions. And I use that phrase quite often because what that experience was able to instill in me was that people all have a story. We all have an experience that shapes our personality. Whether we agree or not is going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we are not always going to agree. But how we respect folks, how we respect opinions, and then going even deeper with that, how we realize their experiences shape their stories. And we all have it. Growing up in Michigan, I will say, in my first early years, single mom, food stamps, whole nine yards, taught me a very valuable lesson. And it was that I wanted to do something in my life, and I wanted to make a difference in my life.
So, okay, so you've owned a business for 20 years.
I have.
And really just hearing you tell your own story, you know, at what point, explain to me the calling to run for city council. Like, what made you think of that? Have you thought of that in the past? Was this your first time to run for public office?
This is my first time to run for public office, but I did become very involved in campaigns in Bob Corker's run for mayor. I was asked, as owning a printing and design company, can we provide support materials? And actually, Bob did reach out to me, Senator Corker, and he said, I've heard you have a company. Have you ever worked on a campaign my response was no, and his response, I think, was something like, buckle up. So from that point forward, the political campaign is a very integral part of our business on one side. And then, of course, we have another side, which is general, was what we call our general business.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So ever since those early days, you've kind of specialized in helping with political campaigns from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And this was really, I mean, it sounds like it was a good opportunity for you to take that. And you know, so running for office, you kind of had an idea of what to do just from that previous experience.
Yes. If there's one thing that we've learned over nearly 20 years is I do know how to run a campaign visually. And I think that was very important. If you actually followed the campaign and you saw how we were able to launch it and the leadership team we were able to put forth, none of that was done overnight.
Yeah.
I would argue that that was done over probably the last 14 years.
Okay. So. Well, tell me about the race for District 4, because I got to be honest, I live downtown, mm-hmm. and so if there was one race I wasn't paying much attention to, it was probably going to be District 4.
Well, District 4, you probably wouldn't have paid much attention to.
Now, that said, I do have a lot of listeners that live in that side of the city, so were you running, how many people were you running against?
We ran unopposed.
Well, that makes it a little easier.
That is, I would agree, that did make it a lot easier, but it's important to notice this. Using that opportunity to run unopposed, and I think it's I can't answer to you honestly why.
Yeah,
I can tell you what we did and where our heart was and the presentation that we made to the public. And so what I take from that is that people took a hard look. If they were considering running, that's great. Maybe they took a look at us and said, this guy really has a heart for this. He has a passion for this. And I would say that what I was able to do during that time, instead of campaigning against somebody, and we all saw the energy that it takes,
sure,
and the toll that it takes on people, well, I use that time wisely. I went into my community. I went to neighborhood meetings. I was learning about council and how it operates and the different departments. I wanted to do my homework so that when I arrived, that I would be very well prepared, very up to date on the issues, and that I could hit the ground running, working for people in my district and also for the people of this city.
Well, so you mentioned, you know, maybe people saw your passion for wanting to do this. But so talk about that. Why, you know, why did you want to run for city council? Why are you so passionate about sort of taking this public service role? In addition, so coming from the private sector and owning a business and running mm-hmm. a business for 20 years, transitioning to, I mean, you're still owning and running that business, but now taking on this role as a public servant with city council, why are you so passionate about that?
Well, I'm passionate because there's a need in our city, okay? When you sit back and you read and you pay attention and you see the many, many different needs, whether it's economic development, whether it's the attention our roads and our infrastructure needs, whether it's the coming of development and growth, especially in my area in District 4, which is the number one spot for growth in the next 10 years. And you look at the violence in our neighborhoods, and you look at the multitudes of needs. One of the things I always promised myself is that I would not be that kind of person that would sit aside and complain or gripe or just show up and shake my fist and rattle the cage and go, you need to do something. Well, you know, at 46 years old, I've been very blessed to have a business that is now at a point where my staff can step in and help. And now it's my turn. And that's my passion, is I don't want to be that person to just talk. I want to put myself out there. And I know it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's already proven difficult. We've had 3 meetings, and we have a lot of great conversation going on in the council. And I'm excited to be part of what I call the most diverse council ever.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing how diverse the council feels now post this recent election. Just hearing the conversations that have been coming out of that and the interaction. You know, everybody, I haven't attended a council meeting yet since you guys have all taken office, but from everything I've heard, they've been very interesting and quite a bit of dialogue.
They are. It's almost as if I feel like there's almost kind of an awakening. You have very diverse backgrounds, which I celebrate wholly, and it's very interesting to watch the different opinions. But here's a fun thing. We are all on the same page. We all want the same things for our great city.
Yeah.
We all are committed to each other, to working together. And I will tell you, the level of respect and friendship that has already been forged with this new council is absolutely, truly, and amazing.
Yeah, I mean, as far as your own role within that, do you see, you know, your time from being in a fraternity and talking about that temperament, talents, and convictions, and sort of creating a bond that goes beyond those three things as being really formative to your ability to really step into a diverse group and form these sort of relationships?
Absolutely. When you don't have an open heart and an open mind, and you don't have that opportunity, I mean, I encourage anybody to look at any organization, not just that. Look at any organization that helps broaden your horizons. Look at look into your soul, figure out who you want to be. It's so easy in today's world to be so one-sided, if you will, to be so political. One of the things that I promised myself and everybody who was involved in my campaign was that, this is a nonpartisan position, and it should be treated as a nonpartisan position. And I promised that everybody, if you can see my hand right now, I come in with the power C for Chattanooga. There is no political affiliation with this job, and everyone needs to have that mindset because Chattanooga comes first.
Yeah, so if you guys ever see Councilman Ledford on the street, just flash him a C with your hand, and you all know what he's talking about.
That's right. I love my city.
So I noticed, you know, on the council, you are already the chair of the Planning and Zoning Committee. And so, you know, my question for you, is that something you inherited, or is that something you stepped up to volunteer for immediately? And, you know, kind of why are you interested in that committee out of everything that's going on in the city?
Well, coming from a business background, and I do own some real estate, so commercial property, and I found that planning and zoning, believe it or not, is not very glamorous at times. It's one of the committees that can probably bore you pretty quick, and so when Chairman Mitchell asked me, he said, "Wood came when." His head down, his hat in his hand, and said, "Councilman, would you consider chairing planning and zoning?" I actually looked up and said, "I would be honored." It takes a lot more, a little bit more time. Obviously, you sit on the planning commission as well, but when we're talking about responsible growth in our city, all of that comes down to zoning and planning. And I've had a long history working with the RPA.
Right.
John Bridger and I have a very long history. So once again, those relationships and those experiences dating back now for probably in that realm 15 years have almost aligned. The stars have aligned, if you will, that I would be interested in that.
Yeah, you know, I think if you were to make a list of, you know, the top 10 mid-sized cities in America who have done a good job of really thinking about zoning and planning over the past 40 years, I would find it hard for Chattanooga not to be on that list. So do you almost feel like maybe that sort of conversation, that sort of engagement and those relationships when it comes to the ideas of planning, you know, is that a little bit different in Chattanooga than maybe in other cities?
That's a good question. I have, to be honest, and I have not looked at too many cities outside of Chattanooga as far as their zoning and regulations. But what I do tell you is I have read through quite a bit the comprehensive plan that we have for our city. And I do know that our land use plan changes and is outdated. For example, in District 4, we're making suggestions on the use of current properties that go back to a plan that is a little bit outdated. See, the thing about a city like ours that is growing so rapidly is we're going to have to think fast. And old plans go away pretty quick. And so we've got to be flexible. And we've got to be business friendly. And when we stop that kind of behavior and we're not business friendly, that's when we stop growing. That's when conversations like tax increases come in. Mm-hmm. And because we're not growing in the revenue to keep up. Because it's expensive to run a city. That I have learned very quickly looking into the expenditures of the city and in council approving. It is very expensive. And when you factor in items like our the consent decree, which we probably won't go into detail here, for our sewers, I mean, that is a huge amount of money that we are obligated to fix. And so I'm very interested in responsible growth, very interested in keeping our growth so that it fits the needs of the people. Because the last thing we want is to be developed mind only, because our people are the most important resource we have and the most important factor in any of our decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think later, you know, there's certain policies that I even love to talk about, but really I do want this to be more of a meet and greet as we get into it. So, you know, as we're kind of looking forward in Chattanooga, you know, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing the city in the next, you know, let's just stick with 4 years since that's your term?
Our biggest challenges are to build, I think, a consensus of the direction that we are heading. There's been a lot of focus on downtown development, and rightly so. I see where the need is. See, businesses is based on a needs. Cities are based on needs as well. But what we've got to do is broaden our horizons, I think, and we're going to have to focus on our outlying areas, the suburbs, the District 3s, the District 4s, the other outlying parts of District 5 and 6 and 7, all of the districts. But if we've got to have a broadened view. And we're going to have to spend a little bit more time, I think, in realizing those voices need to be heard. We have areas in our city right now that are struggling. They are suffering and have been suffering for decades. I am very interested in the city as a whole, bringing in employment opportunities into those districts to help stop the suffering. There are needs, and there are desperate needs, and we as a council, I think, are committed to addressing those needs, addressing them now with real solutions that make the difference we need.
Yeah, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong in hearing what you're saying. You know, you represent District 4, which by most accounts is one of the most successful districts within the city. But you really want to be an advocate for thriving in every district across our city, not just District 4.
That's an absolute yes.
That's great.
Matt, that's amazing. Thank you for picking up on that, because you know, if we're not working and firing on all cylinders, then it's not, we're not doing our job.
Yeah, and, you know, even talking to you about your business, you know, something you mentioned off air as we were kind of walking to the studio is you quickly realized within business the importance of partnership, even with people who would be potentially competitors. But being able to see those people as friends and talk to them as friends will allow you to one day, you know, call on them when you need something. You know, I think what's really important is I feel like you're bringing that perspective to the city council, in that you don't see District 4 as necessarily competing with District 8 or 9 or 5 or any of these other ones, but really you see the symbiotic relationship between these districts, so that if we're going to have a thriving community, we need to make sure every one of these districts is being taken care of.
That is absolutely correct, and thank you for mentioning that, because if we can't look at everything as the whole picture. I mean, yes, I represent District 4, and you are correct. We are blessed to be doing well, so to speak. We have our issues, obviously, like anybody. But there are issues in other districts that I am extremely focused on, and I'm listening to my council representative from those districts, and I'm doing my own homework, because we have to do everything we can for this city as a whole.
So, you know, I love how when I ask you what the biggest challenge is, you don't point to any particular issue, but instead you talk about building a consensus. And, you know, post-2016, that feels like a massive challenge, not even just for Chattanooga, but on a national level. So I'd love to hear you talk more about that challenge. Like, how do we build a consensus in a civic environment that feels so fractured?
And that's a good challenge. That's a good challenge, Matt. Here's what I think we have to do. We have to encourage our citizens to bring their information, to bring their concerns, to bring their input. There are so many different areas in this city that we're all focused on. One group is focused on their particular items or agenda. Another group is focused on theirs. What we've all got to agree is on some key issues, okay? Number one, we have got to find a solution for the violence in our city, okay? That is, we have nothing if we do not have public safety. Everything else is a moot point. So that is a fundamental key item. We have to find a way to address this violence, and it's only rising. Those numbers are true. Some other numbers are lower. We've seen it. But the numbers regarding the violence. Okay, number two, we've got to maintain our growth and maintain the tax revenue that it takes to fund a city service. It is, like I stated before, it is extremely, extremely expensive to run a city. I did not have a clue until I started digging in at how expensive services are and what it takes to just fix potholes and to maintain it. I mean, the sewer system, again, I'm bringing that. Wow, is that an amazingly expensive item? But, you know, with these rains we had recently, and I'm seeing pictures around the city with raw sewage pump, I mean, we have to fix that. So I'm going to infrastructure. I'm going to public safety. And then as a city, we have experienced amazing growth in technology, recreation, art, culture. I mean, recreation. We have this amazing city that has so much to offer. And we're all, like I said before, we're all not going to agree on the exact same plan. But what we do have to agree is almost one thing. And that is building the best quality of life for all of us in this city so that I can raise my son and my family. And I don't know if you have kids.
I've got two kids.
All right. So you can raise your children. I want to be able to walk down the street anywhere I go and feel safe, so to speak. Yeah. And moving Chattanooga forward with that mindset of bettering our lives or the quality of our lives, it's why I live here. And this is, this is an amazing place. And this is why I put myself out there. This, you know, public servant, let me just say this real quick. Here's what I found. These are not easy jobs. There's a lot of criticism that comes with it. Everybody wants you to do what they want you to do. And it's a big sacrifice. And I applaud anybody who steps up and runs for office, number one, or gets involved in their community. Because that is the importance of us working together. And that's how we're going to build that. Going back to your question, consensus is by listening intently to what people desire, their interests, their hearts, and then acting on that in the best manner that we can.
You know, going back to the idea of how much it costs to run a city, and you really only coming to sort of the realization once you kind of stepped into this role, or you were looking to step into this role, you know, is that primarily a communication problem? Like how do we raise this sort of awareness within the city for everybody that, hey, this isn't necessarily a matter of financial irresponsibility or mismanagement or anything like that. Like it's actually really expensive to run a city.
Yes. First of all, there are folks, and I've seen it, who don't do their homework, and I'm really a big advocate on this. I'm the guy who stays up late at night searching for every piece of information that he can get because he wants to fully understand what it costs. Now, running a business, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Running a city is super, super expensive, and I'm very, very interested in those numbers, but what you've got to understand is it is the amount of money it takes, and there's no way to express that. But getting people engaged, okay, you have to do your homework. So I encourage you, before you formulate an opinion, before you lash out, before you, you know, rattle the cage, do your homework and try to see where and how this money is appropriated, number one. Reach out to your local officials, council members. That's what we're here for. I mean, ask us questions. Hey, why are you all spending X amount of dollars on that? And we'll be glad to explain to you. Because in council, the financial questions, and that's where a strong part of my focus is being fiscally responsible, is a very in-depth and a very complicated when you understand how budgets are set up and finances are arranged.
All right, so let's finish this up with sort of a fun question. Okay, if I'm actually going to go and spend the day in District 4, what are the things I can't miss about your district?
Oh, well, I would be remiss to say one of the largest attractions that we have in District 4 is this place called Hamilton Place, which seems to attract a tremendous amount of people.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a wonderful park and Heritage Park. It's now renamed the Jack Benson.
Okay.
Heritage Park in honor of our former councilman, Jack Benson. And so we have that. We have a tremendous amount of fine restaurants. I know downtown claims theirs as well, but we have our share out there at restaurants. And there's this, it's so convenient with the amenities that we have in District 4. We live on the eastern edge. And when we want to run somewhere to dinner, and we're there in 5 minutes, and it has a tremendous amount of convenience.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, Chattanooga in general has that convenience, and it speaks to that quality of life issue. You know, I know so many people who have moved here from, whether that's Atlanta or Chicago, you know, and just so the idea of, like, for me, the idea of a 20-minute commute it sounds like a nightmare, right? but for them, they're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So you can go anywhere within 20 minutes in Chattanooga. But Jack Benson Park, that's really good. My kids love all the parks in Chattanooga, and we haven't been there yet, so we'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, come see it. We'd love to have you.
All right, well, thanks for being here, Councilman.
Absolutely, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you so much to District 4 City Councilman Darren Ledford for taking the time to talk with us on the podcast. Hopefully you all are as excited as I am about this series to take a moment to get to know these newly elected officials a little bit better. And this interview with Councilman Ledford just felt like a great beginning. You know, in the feature for CityScope magazine, I mentioned that once you live in a place long enough, it's easy to look around and see all of the issues and all of the challenges. It's a lot harder to look around and realize that there are a lot of people actively working to help solve those challenges. Hopefully after this interview, you feel a lot more confident and excited about the work of not only Councilman Ledford, but our entire city council to take up some of the city's biggest challenges. Well, speaking about that article in CityScope, if you haven't seen it yet, please go out and check out the latest issue of CityScope magazine, and it has a feature on local Chattanooga podcasting. There's a profile piece in there on the Camp House, but also other great local podcasts like Open Mic Spotlight, Chattanooga Eats, and Around and About. You can also find that online at cityscopemag.com. And thank you to our studio sponsor, the Lamp Post Group. As many of you know, the Lamp Post Group runs a logistic accelerator called Dynamo, and they have a great podcast you can check out called Dynamo Discussions. And thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in and helping to make this podcast such a success. Hopefully, we'll be able to hear from each one of our newly elected council members in the coming weeks. Until then, please share this episode with your friends and coworkers, and you can do that at thecamphouse.com/podcast. So again, thank you all for being here. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you again next week.